Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast, the last one for September as we head into October and business time as we would expect this time of year in the Aviva Premiership. And a pleasure to have on the Rugby Pass podcast today a man who's had more clubs than Captain Caveman, Dan Bowden, now with Bath, but formerly with pretty much every other rugby club in the world. Bowell, lovely to have you, mate. How you been?
Yeah, good, buddy. Good. Trying to survive, you know what it's like.
Well, I don't know what it's like. I'm not on your salary, but I'm sure you're struggling through. First of all, Bath. We need to talk about Bath. Dan, the new coaching setup, Todd Blackadder and Tabai Matson joining the club at the start of the season. And it's been a wonderful start for Bath. A lot of people talking about the club. Despite the injury list, things are looking pretty good for one of the more famous clubs in the UK.
Yeah, it's been a great start. Obviously, pretty interesting, to say the least. Pre-season, sort of no coaches in place. It was a difficult time. We just did a lot of sort of strength and conditioning until Toddy and Tabson arrived. And look, got struck in straight into work with some platforms that they wanted to put in. And look, mate, we got some results pretty quickly, actually. Three wins in a row for the first three games, off the back of three wins in the preseason. So we were rolling. And then, unfortunately, got tipped up last week versus Leicester away, which is always a tough place to play. But as you say, off injury list, we're doing pretty well at the moment.
You know, I always think back to clubs like Leicester, which you know is my club, Bowell, and you've been part of the Tigers family in the past. But now there's a greater mobility around the clubs in England and in the Aviva Premiership. Was it a weird feeling for you to head back to Welford Road and to play against your old team?
It actually was, because I really, really enjoyed my time at Leicester. And you know, I didn't. I had the opportunity to stay on and stuff like that, and we sort of went back home, back to New Zealand for family reasons. But it was quite strange coming up against them. I still speak to a lot of the boys there and have some really good friends that I've made there. And the coaching staff is obviously world class. Richard Cockrell and Aaron Major doing a great job there, and they're just such a well supported team. So the fans were fantastic on the weekend, and you know, I got a lot of positive messages on social media and stuff. So it was different, but it would have been nice to get the win, which was sweeter, but they were just too good for us on the back.
Did Aaron Major rub it into Tabai Matson and Todd Blackadder, given their relationship through the Crusaders in Canterbury?
He did, mate. He was more giving them a stick at how many puddings that Tabs was having that day. Yeah, table, I think.
Has he had the Heathrow injection?
Yeah, mate, I think so. So that copped a lot of flack, but it was interesting to say the least.
Mate, the Premiership in itself, we know that it is growing ever more powerful in terms of its standing in world rugby from a club point of view. The salary cap continues to rise. The fundamental impact on that for you, Dan, what you have seen and what the Premiership is now able to attract, how much has changed since your first foray into Premiership rugby back with London Irish?
Mate, it's changed massively. I think the RPA came around and did a stat relatively recently, and it's gone, like, the average salary has gone from, you know, around the 75, 80K mark to maybe like 130.
Wow.
Now, which is a fairly large increase. Yeah, and if you look at that, a few years back when I first arrived, obviously the post-Brexit, the pound's taken a dive, but that was looking at sort of £2.2 in New Zealand dollar. So if you did some simple math, say a person in New Zealand is earning, you know, maybe 150K, and that includes Super Rugby and ITM Cup, sorry, Mitre Team Cup. You know, people are often doubling, if not tripling, their money once they make it to the Premiership, and that's what sort of the attraction is for a person coming to the Premiership. And then you look at those who are foreign stars coming in now, and there is the marquee player rule, which means then they're outside the salary cap. So God knows what they'd be getting. I've heard some figures for some of the internationals, Australian blokes that have arrived, the Matt Tamuas and Cutley Beals. I've heard that, you know, they're well over the $500,000 mark. So obviously, you know, it sets these guys up financially for life, basically, mate. So they're big decisions that have to be made, really.
You know, when you think about that, that's across the board. And I know that in New Zealand rugby, there's been a real move to increase the base salaries for players, but it's very hard to be competitive unless you're at the top level of New Zealand rugby in terms of those salaries that are offered not only in the Aviva Premiership but also in the top 14. Are we going to see this continue to grow? Are we going to see more players leaving Sanzar competitions earlier to take advantage of increased salaries in the UK?
Well, being someone that's sort of done both and gone back and then come back in, I personally think we will. Obviously, each person has their own personal circumstances and their reasons for moving or staying in New Zealand. But I think the fact of the matter is that the money on offer overseas is always going to be higher than what's on offer in New Zealand, unless you're a multi-year veteran of Super Rugby who can qualify, I think, for the sort of that longevity scheme that they're sort of having now, and or, you know, an international and All Blacks. So if you're sort of a 3 or 4 year Super Rugby player, not on that sort of All Black pecking order as such, then I think you will, mate, because when they sort of get to 27, 28, they've probably got to start thinking about, you know, how many years left do I have in the game and what can I make the most out of it financially? And no one really blames the players or anything like that. It's just part and parcel of the business. But I think, mate, I think the RPA at home is working hard to try and get some bonuses involved, and I know that there's minimum things in place, etc., for Mitre 10 Cup, minimum salaries and minimum salaries in Super Rugby. But as I say, the gap is still always going to be bigger over here.
What about stylistically? We know that over the years there's been some criticism of the way that the English clubs approach the game, and we know that within the Premiership itself there is still room for different styles of play. Different teams bring different strengths to proceedings. But are we seeing a game that is developing? And again, I take you back, Dan, to the starting point for you in the Premiership with London Irish, till now where you are with Bath. Are we seeing teams be more adventurous, or are there still the fundamental foundations of what we've come to know at British rugby as in place in the competition?
There's definitely both. If you look at, I think, the majority of sides now, we get stats handed to us every week, mate, but across the board, every team is trying to play more. I think that over the last 3 or 4 rounds, I think the average points scored and conceded is much higher than it has been in the last 2 or 3 years. For example, we scored 50-odd points in the second game, almost 40 in the third, 35, 37 were scored against us on the weekend. So there is some much higher scoring matches. There was a couple of 35, 36-point draws over the first and second weeks. So teams are scoring more points, but fundamentally, the side who has the most success is still Saracens after they won the double, the Premiership and in Europe last year, and their game's still heavily based on set piece to kick chase. What I find interesting the most is probably the way that England adapted under Eddie Jones and the way they went down to Australia. They played some pretty expansive rugby that I don't think anyone saw coming, and obviously, you know, they racked up some pretty big scores against Australia. So what I think will continue to happen is a mixture of both. Again, some elements of the Saracens game, which are basically test match rugby, to then taking some of the free-flowing stuff that's decided to come in. If you think, there's a lot of Southern Hemisphere coaches now in the Premiership and a lot of Southern Hemisphere players, and mirrored that with some young English talent, there's actually, you know, the ability for them to score points. So it's just a shame that England's not getting to play New Zealand for such a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, that's become the big talking point in Test rugby, though, hasn't it? You're on the Rugby Pass podcast with Dan Bowden, Scotty Stevenson with you today. Dan Bowden with Bath and the Aviva Premiership as we discuss all things British rugby on this cast. And I guess the England All Black Test now, it's almost at fever pitch level and we're still 2 years away. Has this been a masterstroke of Eddie Jones to set this up as the battle for rugby supremacy from a very early point of view, knowing, Dan, that he doesn't have to prove that for a couple of seasons?
Yeah, I think so, mate. Obviously, I'm very good friends with a couple of these boys who are in the England side. I spent a lot of time with George Ford, and he's pretty much in the driver's seat for England these days at 10. And just the way Eddie Jones goes about his business, you know, he compares everything they do to the All Blacks and how they can get better and where they need to be, constantly comparing their sort of statistics and the way they play the game to the All Blacks. So I think it's a bit of a masterstroke in terms of the fact that he knows he's got this time to develop a team before he really comes to, you know, the assets put on them and they play them. So as they go about their business at the moment, they're sort of conquering everyone they come across. So until that happens, you know, we're not really going to know who's the best.
George Ford, you know, he leads the competition in try assist this season. And we know he's a talented man, and he is just growing and growing as a rugby player. Was identified early through that under-20s program but now he's a fixture in the team. What's he like as a first five, Dan, and what's he like as a game manager?
Mate, I could describe him many ways, but I'll tell you one of the things that makes him so good. One of the things that makes him so good is he's obsessive. Like, he literally is obsessive. He trains the house down and he goes home and I lived with him for a few months when I first arrived. And I've known him a number of years through first meeting him at Leicester Tigers. Excuse me. And he just constantly doing analysis, whether it's training of games. Game management skills are fantastic that the club gives him the license to go ahead, and he does most of the analysis, the attack for the upcoming games we're playing against, and looks at the trends and patterns that teams are doing against us. So he's a very smart kid, and you know, he comes from a massive rugby background. His father obviously been international coach and player, and then coaching Bath and now Toulon, and his brother's played professionally. So it's just in his genes, mate. He's very, very good at his age. I think if you have to think, he's only about 22 or maybe 23, and he's already racked up 30 plus tests, I think. Excuse me, and won numerous individual awards. So I think at the moment, I think Toddy came over and gave him a pretty big rap, saying, you know, he could end up being England's Dan Carter, and at the moment, there's really Beauden Barrett and him as the two premier teams in the world.
Yeah, were you coughing because you were choking on all the compliments you had to pay an Englishman then?
Yeah, it was pretty tough, to be honest, because if he ever hears this, I'll never hear the end of it.
He can hear it, of course, rugbypass.com. We're on the podcast. It's our final one for September. We're speaking with Dan Bowden out of the Bath Club in the Premiership. I want to talk a couple of other players. Mauro Itoje is getting a lot of airtime over there, Dan, and his stats have been insane over the first few rounds of the Premiership. He is some kind of back rower in this competition. Is this the sort of archetypal player that Eddie Jones is looking for?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been around for a while, isn't it, this player that he can play lock, can play six, and he's basically a hybrid, can play both very well, plays both for Saracens and for internationally as well. Excuse me, and he has some freakish stats, like I think he played in 24 games and won all 24 games, including test matches last year, which is a phenomenal record for a man of his age. And inside that, just the personal accolades he's won, again, like numerous individual awards. But when you go through his game, he's probably not the player. He's not a typical player what I thought he would be, if that makes sense. He's more like, he's more workmanlike, I thought, because of his athleticism. He'd be ranging wide and throwing remarkable offloads, but he actually has that, as well as sort of the Brad Thorne type grit. And I know that sounds a bit strange.
Mate, because he's got all these attributes when you think he's going to be that guy who's going to just be a camera time player. But when you go through his numbers, he's made 52 tackles. He leads the tackle count. I mean, that's the sort of work rate that a team like England, that a team like Saracens is built upon.
It does. And it's funny because he often comes up in these preview clips that you're looking at of he just counter-rucks by himself and just smashes rucks a bit. So you've got two or three people just sailing over the ball and he's just piling in and just destroying rucks. So he's that sort of style of player as well. Very destructive, carries well. And as you say, just makes truckloads of tackles. And that's all you need is a team like Saracens. And again, obviously, England, they base a lot of their game plan on sort of attacking defence, like a lot of line speed and creating turnovers from that. And I think Eddie Jones has got a bit of a godsend fall into his lap there. This kid's pretty special.
I want to talk to you about someone closer to home in terms of stat leaders in the competition, and that is Samisa Rokodunguni. Look, he leads the metres. He leads clean breaks. He leads defenders beaten. The man is a one-man wrecking ball for you blokes at Bath. This is one special player.
It's if I put it any other way, it probably didn't sound right, but it's a bit of a travesty almost that he's only got one international cap, because I think the rest of the world needs to see how good he is. He literally has... I sound like a bit of a stats guru, but I think over the last 3 or 4 years, he's beaten something like 99 defenders, which is just phenomenal. So,
is he covered in bees?
He averages something like 5 or 6 defenders beaten a game, which is just freakish. And again, on the weekend, we were in a badly beaten side. We conceded 30 points, but I think he made a few line breaks and he scored a try from about 50 out off a cross-field kick. just made JP Pedersen look like he was stuck in quicksand and took off.
That's not easy to do.
No, not at all, mate. So this guy's just a wonderful talent. He's been around. He's got a great story. Obviously, you would have known he's a serving soldier in the army. He's a tank driver. Mm-hmm. So he's got a great story, and he's just a great guy. As I said, it's a shame he hasn't played more. I dare say that he'd play a hell of a lot more for England this year. Mm. Just the way things have panned out, the way how good he's been, and probably the form of others, and he really deserves to be, mate. He's a one-man wrecking ball.
I've got to be honest with you, and I know this sounds a bit weird because I'm in New Zealand talking on the Rugby Pass podcast. You're in Bath, and we're talking about stat leaders in the Premiership, but we can't talk about stat leaders without covering off another couple of Kiwis. Jimmy Gopith, who must be 60 by now, leading on the point scoring table, and the most carries in the comp, I think, as per usual, Toot Tank Waldrum. These two players, these two veteran Kiwis who have spent a long time now in the Premiership, still leading the way. Does that say something about the value placed on experience by the English clubs in particular?
Oh, yeah, I think so. They're just both... it sounds funny because Thomas is of the larger variety, but they keep themselves in great shape. So because they're so robust, you know, they're available to play week in, week out. They're dependable. And Kiwis have always gone so great in this competition, so they've got a great reputation to start with. But for Jimmy to start with, obviously he at WAS this year, he's actually even playing a little bit out of position at 12.
Yeah.
And just been superb. Goal kicking like wonderfully well, scoring try assists. They just really run the clock back. And I think he might be like 34. And that's the same with Barney Thomas Waldrum. Just same thing. I think last 2 years he's been top try scorer in the Premiership, which is just, again, a ridiculous feat for a number eight.
Mm. He's particularly hungry.
He is very, very, very... Anyone inside the 5 metre line, he basically trips off the zone to me, mate. It's quite sad. Look, mate, he loves a meat pie, and dotting down is probably something that, you know, gets him home. But he's, again, dependable, plays week in, week out, not injured, doesn't go away for international games. They're like sort of the bread and butter player you want for the Premiership. And on the back of the way, Exeter to play with just a strong maul. He scores he scores try after try. So they've been great guys, mate, and they've really rewarded sort of the club with the faith they're showing in them as well.
Right, let's talk Turkey, mate, as we wrap up the podcast this week here on Rugby Pass. Dan Bowden, a lot of people in English rugby think, shut the gate, close the doors, Saracens win the title and it's game over. What would you say to those people?
It's a very good question because Saracens are a very, very good side. Well coached, obviously some world-class players. But I think this year, probably more so than the last couple, there's a couple of teams that have the ability to tip them up. I'd say Wasps are one of them. Mm. Exeter played them recently and didn't go so well. And the Exeter side, they've been building for about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, great homegrown players and a good coach in Rob Baxter, well supported by some international imports, mainly from Australia. And then on our day, I'd say, you know, we can go pretty good against some Bath. We've got a great roster. Everyone's back from injury. And again, same with Leicester. So I'd say there is the usual suspects, but I think this year the gap is closing. As opposed to last year, they were just far too good. As I said, they won the double and, you know, they didn't look like getting beaten, to be honest. But this year, they've probably got, you know, one hand on it, but everyone else is reaching a bit closer as well.
Good man. And finally, mate, what about your lovely partner who is just as good a footballer as you ever were? What's going on there? Is she full retirement or thinking of a comeback? What's going on?
Mate, she's been coerced a few times to try and come out of retirement. She almost went to the World Cup recently to the Olympics with New Zealand, but I managed to keep her at home here. So she's gonna stay retired for now. We've got another one, another little baby expecting in January, mate. So she's a bit tied up at the moment.
Yeah, a little bit. You've crushed her dreams, Bowden. Well done, mate.
She's had her time, mate. She's had her time.
Hey, mate, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for being our guest this week on the Rugby Pass podcast. Good luck to you and your Bath team this week, pal. Who have you got? Sale Sharks, is it?
We've got Gloucester this week, which is the local derby.
Of course,
so it should be a cracker.
No, I look forward to it. Well done, Ben. Dan, thanks very much for your time again, mate. We'll talk soon.
No worries, buddy. Cheers.
There we go, Dan Bowden on the Rugby Pass podcast today. That's our last one for September. Back in October, of course, next week, in fact. And you can catch all the action from the Aviva Premiership and the Test matches and the Sanzar comps right here on rugbypass.com.